stronger.
Welcome to Catch the Flavor of Youth Radio on Radio Regent. My name is Diamond, and we just heard Formation by Beyonce. School can be rough for everybody, even the best of students. We all have our struggles, and sometimes they are things beyond our control. So how do we as students cope? I'm here to discuss the issues of discrimination today. Over the weekend, Ontario's anti-racism doctorate hosted 30 youth from across Ontario who witnessed or experienced racism, and they participated in an engagement session. Michael Kotu, Ontario's Minister in Children and Youth Services, as well as Minister responsible for anti-racism, delivered brief remarks. The event was held at YWCA here in Toronto from 3:30 on the 23rd of September. Here today with Tiger, we are going to discuss the issue of racism in the school system. Welcome. But first, Judy will talk more about the event.
So according to the press secretary and communications advisor to the office of Honorable Michael Kotu, Alicia Ali, she said the purpose of the event was to engage with up to 30 Indigenous and racialized youth to better understand their experiences of systemic racism and inform the anti-racism directorate's public awareness mandate. So youth from five cities were represented at the youth engagement session, including Hamilton, London, Ottawa, Thunder Bay, and Toronto. And youth were energetically engaged for the whole day. So although it started at 9 in the morning, it lasted the whole day. And youth were excited for the opportunity to share their experiences with the government. And this experience helped validate their unique experiences of systemic racism. And youth want the opportunity to contribute to the government-led anti-racism initiatives, which include policy development and public awareness initiatives. Back to you, Diamond.
So Tiger's here with us today to discuss the issue of racism in the school system. Welcome, Tiger.
Hi, it's nice to be here.
So our first question we have is, have you heard or experienced any racism, and what was it like for you?
I have heard about racism before, actually before I came to Canada, but still, so far, I hardly ever see it, so I'm not really experienced, but I do know there's a lot of news and a lot of stories out there about racism.
Okay, so even as international student, do you have or experience racism, not even like with just the fact that you're Vietnamese, but the fact that you come from a different country?
So far, I haven't had any kind of problem about that. That's the thing, because I am this. Also, racism is one thing that I have taken in consider when I first come to thinking about study abroad, because I did hear a lot of like story from US and Australia, and I did put all of them in the scale. And one thing that surprised me when I first changed my mind, because first I wanted to go to Australia, and then I heard about how like the compare between, it's funny because it's compare between Canada and America, and then America and Australia is. And Australia is actually more, it's not really kind of like authentic information, but I did heard that Australia somehow that more racist than America, and
really?
America somehow racist, more racist than Canada. That's why I was like, okay, definitely Canada is a better choice.
Yeah.
Just for the racism factor, that's why that's one thing that's kind of like changed my mind when I first thinking about going to Canada to study. But yeah, so far I'm having a really great experience and haven't experienced any kind of like racism to myself.
That's interesting, because I never thought of like Australia actually being more racist than America. Just the fact that I guess because we're above America and we see all the media and things about what happens down there, I guess like you don't really think about like all the places, you know, that's not close to us. For me, being Black, I've have experienced racism in the school like atmosphere, but it's been more subtle, you know, because in the area I grew up in, Regent Park, you know, it's we're really about like our community and being a community that's really has different races and ethnic groups. You know, we don't really tolerate that. It's not really brought up, even though we know that it's an issue. So the schools around us try to have diversify the teachers in that way. But like, you know, when you have substitute teachers, they come in, and I specifically remember I was in grade 3 and it was a supply teacher, and I think it was a man, and he fully told us the first in the morning, like the first time we saw him, we're like, oh, we have a supply teacher. He full out just said that Asians are the smartest. And I was really confused, like, that's different, because you really don't hear, like, not that you don't hear about Asians in general. Usually you hear, like, you know, like, you're, all these races are belittled, right? So it was really weird, like, what's happening, right? So have you ever had to stand up for someone else or even for yourself when facing discrimination?
It's funny about the thing when you mentioned that Asian is the smartest. I think it's more of like a stereotype than racism.
For sure.
But since you mentioned about the thing, I actually have been to the event myself, and I was there, and Mr. Kusur mentions about like it's not racism that you see everyday life, like you don't see people shout at each other, or you don't see people being kind of like bullied because of their skin. But this thing is really trying to trigger me, because they say that it's not actually you see it, but it's the opportunities of being like the skin, like different skin color. You got less opportunities, and sometimes like people don't say it, but they actually choose people from their skin colors and their background. That's something that is hard to kind of like prevents, because it's in people's mind, and they don't say it. They don't say, oh, I'm not racist, but I just don't like people like this. It's not something that kind of like surprised me.
What I found, it's like racism's kind of institutionalized in a way, like just because of the history, because history is so significant and so influential. We are changing as a society, but those little remarks are still there. You know, they're still within. You have to deconstruct like things to fully see it, right? So I understand what you're saying.
Sometimes people who's actually think it don't think that they racism. They think that, oh, it's the right thing to think about that. But in general, you shouldn't think about it, I think. Yeah.
So there's been times where I've stood up, like, a lot for my siblings, because I'm the oldest out of 5, right? So you being, like, the oldest, you kind of try to hide them and shed them like from certain things in society, right? So there's been times when, you know, we're just going about our daily lives, whether that's going to the grocery store or going to a soccer game, and there would be remarks from people on the TTC or in, like, you know, whether it's the cashiers or whatever, and my siblings would be like, Diamond, what are they saying? Like, why does my skin like put off people so much? And I specifically remember this for my sister, and I was like, it was so hard for me like to talk to her about this, right? Because like, I'm like, you're so young to be asking me these such complex questions. And then it was like something I had to get the whole family to talk about, you know, like all the history, because she's only in grade 4, so she's just learning about these things, right? She's just turned 10 in January. So she told me this when she was like 9. So I was just like, the society, like the generation now, they see the things that are happening in society, just like what's happening in US, and all that whole summer when, you know, all the Black Lives Matters and Trayvon Martin and all those things were happening, right? So it's things like that, I guess, that the society's more of the generation now are seeing what's wrong with society.
True.
So some of these experiences involving students facing discrimination from teachers, how do you think that affects students?
It's actually, in English specifically, I learn a lot about discriminations and sexes. So it does affect me in a way that I see that is a lot of different way to be racist, and also to kind of find out the solution itself. Like, we learn about how racism and how to kind of like to fix it. I'm not saying like fix it, but to getting trying to make the situation better. So that was something that I was surprised because I never actually learned about it in Vietnam. Maybe just because in Vietnam we don't have this problem like a lot. That's why. But here, like, it's like every time or like every class, you're gonna have to like see that topics are coming up and you're gonna have to talk about it all the time. It's sometimes it's not really comfortable, but it's still something that you should be aware of and you should like finding a solution for it, because it's for everybody. It's just not for just one individual or like just one group, but it's for societies in general.
Yeah, I think it's because, like how you said, how it's uncomfortable to talk about. And I think that's why, like, not saying it's the main, it's a causation, but it could be correlated that because we steer from that talk about racism, that it kind of got where it is now. It's still amplified. It's still there. If we talked more about it and we weren't afraid of the consequences, I guess, of talking about it, you know, it, not saying it wouldn't be a problem, but I don't think it would, like, events like what's happening in America would be happening in all around the world. So do you feel these discussions help address the issue of racism in school, and how?
I think so. I think it's helped a lot because as an individual, I got more aware of things like details, because as you see, like, they don't, like, racism is not only just, like, being bullied and or, like, big activities anymore. It's just some little tiny things that we need to pay attention on and we need to be aware of. And since for me, I have aware of it, and I also kind of see and kind of prevent myself too, because from a place that not really have racism, I don't know how is it, and I actually learn about it, and I know what should I do, what I should not do. So I got to kind of not showing the feeling and know how to kind of like, I don't know, critical thinkings that not in the racism way.
Yeah, I think it's because that Canada is such a multicultural country. There's so many people that come here for opportunities, and we're known as, like, you know, a melting pot, right?
Yeah.
We take everybody's cultures and mix it into one big Canadian culture, as, like, I know people like to call it, right? For me, I feel like the discussions, like we said before, it should be had. Like, it should be talked about, just because we don't want to repeat history.
Yeah.
And we can't tackle something if we don't know the workings of it. If you don't know how it works and how it manifests, we don't know how to tackle it, right?
Yeah.
So I think it's really significant, whether it be in the school environment, in work environment. I think it's beneficial no matter where you are, right?
Yeah.
It's also good for tackling when you go to, just as you go to other places that have, like, you know, a variety of different races and cultures, right?
True.
What suggestions would you have for students facing racism, both through school and outside of it?
That's tricky. But I think the best way is to talk to people, because often people who's been through, like, not just racism, but, like, trauma, they would tend to keep it to themselves. And I don't think it's a good thing, because when you talk to people, not only you got that relief feeling out of you, but also you gotta find, like, the solutions, the answers for, like, the problems. And also you got people to, like, don't be afraid that other people don't understand it.
Yeah.
Sure, they're not gonna go through what their youth are going, because you, like, each one is different, but also they know, like, they might know how to get over it, like, help you get over it, also get somebody to help you. So that's the thing, you have to speak up for yourself.
Yeah, like, I totally agree with you. And what I think would tackle it, it may be different from what you think, so it's completely subjective, but what I think we can all agree on is nonviolence.
Yeah.
Right? Because as you can see, violent actions can lead to much worse.
Yeah.
So I feel like if you go about it in, like, a positive way, in a way that you can channel your emotions and your actions so you don't affect people around you negatively, because racism is negative, right?
Yeah.
It can blossom from something, you know, it could be what they've grown up to know. It could be their surroundings. It could just be what's inflicted upon them, right? And they think, oh, I'm getting bullied because I'm this, that, and that. So I think it's okay to, or I think someone else should feel my pain. So instead of going that route, you should be talking to somebody else or chatting. Maybe if you want to, let's say, go to, there's groups for things like this, like discussion groups.
Yeah.
You know, at my school, they have groups for women. They have groups for transgenders that go through things like that. Even, doesn't matter what, like, color or creed you are, there's things for the specific problem, right? Because we don't want to inflict negativity to what's happening, right?
It's funny you mentioned that, because today there was Unites, a charity go to my school,
yeah.
And there's one story that's propped out of, like, everyone, is that he have an issue, not about racism, but when he have issue, and he's just, like, instead of, like, doing actions, he sit down and draw.
Yeah.
And that is just, like, it's a really good way to release your feeling, release your emotions, rather than just, like, go for it and do, like, actions that you know that somehow you're gonna regret in the future.
Yeah, it's like, I know, like, spoken word.
Yeah.
A lot of people, you know,
right,
participate in spoken word, poetry, to discuss, you know, to portray and let out, like, all the struggles they've gone through, whether it's racism or anything else. It's a really good outlet to use. So how do you think discrimination is felt in places outside of Ontario, like America, where racism was systematic in school systems?
I think for America specifically, they are really open, like, the medias would also, like, discuss and criticize about the racisms. So we already see all of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
But this one thing I want to go back to Canada is that I read a really interesting essay about how racisms, like, because Canada, we say that we don't have racisms, but that is not true. But then when we say that we don't have problem, we tend to not looking for solutions, that we tend to, like, denying the problems we having right now. So I just wanted to say that it's, like, we shouldn't deny it. Like, we should actually see to the fact that we do have it. Maybe it's much less in America. It doesn't mean that we don't have it, and we still have to look for solutions. And, yeah.
Yeah, what I think, I've talked to people that come to Canada, and I would ask them, why do you love Canada so much, right? They're like, oh, because it's safer than America, because there's less, this is less of that. But I believe that it's not the fact that we don't have as much violence or racism than America. I just think it's not on the media as much as America. You know how media always, like, you know, portrays the bad stuff or what will sell as news?
Yeah.
I feel like as a country, we're so, like, patriarchal and so, like, love our country so much that I guess we hide certain things from society and from the media and how they want other countries to look at us as a whole, right? Because we're known for, like, you know, having immigrants here, and if we let out that, you know, we let out the media about how we're racist and all that stuff, right? Because if you think about our workforce and, like, all our economic, right, our economics and economy, a lot of immigrants tie in with that, right?
True.
So I think that's what it is. Not that America is more violent than us. I'm just saying this as an opinion. It could, I'm not saying it could be or couldn't be. I'm just saying that that's my personal belief. Do you think it gets worse or better when you reach higher grades? Or does the type of discrimination differ?
That's tricky because I came here in the not really high grade. I came here last year, grade 12, so it's something that I know that people already learn and, like, have been approached a lot since through their secondary school and also their high school already. So I don't have any, I don't see any kind of problem with that. But yeah, I don't think my experience is enough to say whether the education system or whether it's getting worse or bad. But I personally think that all of the activities, all of the events, all of the efforts that we're putting out there, And I believe that it's getting better. It's better than the past, and hopefully it's will getting better in the future.
I feel as, I think I agree with this, that as you go higher in the grades, the discrimination gets worse, just because I feel like, obviously, little kids don't know, like, you know, if they don't want to play with a certain person because they don't look like them. I don't think they intentionally know that. Whether, like I said before, it could be the system, like, you know, the atmosphere. I don't think they do it on purpose. I don't think they know what they're doing. But as we grow older and we get to know more things about society and the world around us, I feel like it does become more, like, on, like, they do it more on purpose. Just because, for whatever reasons, I think it is. Also, I think that there are different types of discrimination, like whether it be like racism, whether it be like whether you're able to do like disability, whether you're able to do things and you can't, whether you are a different type, you you know, you believe in different religions, or like you said, you're from some other ethnic. You know, whether you're a female or a male, there is different types of discrimination. But how they go about placing and using these different types of discrimination, it just happens, which is sadly is.
Yeah.
Lastly, do you have anything else you would like to add or you would like the audience to know?
I don't think I have any ideas yet.
Or anything like you would like to summarize about discrimination in the school system?
Yeah, as I already say that I do think it's already get better, and I hope it's getting better in the future. So yeah, because it's not something I personally seen a lot, but I do feel that it would be really, like, it's really better if you yourself understand, like, the definitions, not just the definitions, but like the ideas. And when you understand the ideas and you know how to prevent things, like bad things can be prevented, and also good thing will come too.
Yeah, I totally agree with you. I think how the school system is handling it as well, but it kind of contradicts what they do if you see in society, whether it's like what's portrayed in the media or like even when you see politics, like it's all there. And I feel like you can't go teaching a next generation to not do this and this and that where they see you doing it.
Yeah,
like there's people that also learn from what they see around them, so I think it would be a great way. I feel like they shouldn't be ignorant about it, because ignorance leads to, you know.
Yeah,
so I think what we're doing so far is good, but obviously there can be, we can do things that can make not having racism around us, you know. So thank you to Tiger for staying with us, for our guests for being here, and for staying us for the part of our show. We are all out of time, so please stay with us for the next half. We will continue the conversation on the school system by discussing how it has been for us coming back. Please stay tuned after this musical break.
Welcome back to Catch That Flava Youth Radio here on Radio Regions. My name is Tiger Dao, and you're just listening to I'm Here by Jennifer Hewsons. If you're just joining us, we were just chatting about racism in the school system and the recent anti-racism discussion held by the Ontario government. Then we'll talk about our own experience dealing with racism. For the second half of our show, we will go more broad about the experience of coming back to school now that it has been a few weeks. Going back to school means a lot of adjustment from summertime freedom, so let's talk about how we have been coping in the adjustments to the structure and curriculums. Here with me today, I'm joining with Diamonds, and thank you for joining us today.
No problem.
So, how was coming back to school been like, the adjustment?
Well, it was weird, like, getting up at the time I had to, because a lot of people around me, it seems like the schools have started later. Instead of 8:45, it's now 9.
Oh.
So, all my siblings around me get up after I get up, and just being like getting up by yourself and see everybody sleeping, you're just like, why me? But like, because my school's not actually all day, it's only half day, because I only have two you know, periods in the morning, it's not that bad compared to if I was there all day. So I'm really blessed and happy about that.
Yeah.
But because I've been working, it kind of feels like I'm just gone to work and work's only half day. Yeah. So I don't think the transitioning is really bad.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm still getting used to it.
Yeah.
Because I just don't like, I'm not a morning person. I'm a night owl. And then I have to limit myself to like when I'm supposed to go to sleep. And now I have homework.
Oh my God.
So it's kind of sad. But education is to better myself. So I shall take the struggle.
Yeah, I get it. I think, yeah, my school has still started at 8:30, yeah. So I don't know what.
Mine starts at 8:45.
But I used to get up at like 8:45 or 6:30 to 6:45 to get to school. Because school back in Vietnam started at 7.
Yeah.
So that is like a big transition. So you have to adjust a lot.
School in Vietnam started at 7.
Yes.
When did it end?
It's end at 5.
What?
Yes.
How many periods did you have?
Typically 7 to 8.
Oh my gosh.
Which each period is 45 minutes. So yeah, the adjustment is not so hard.
Yeah.
So I don't have really kind of like problems adjust to the school system here. And I'm really blessed I'm here. So yeah, you're... didn't have any kind of like surgery and stuff, but how about like, because you're working and you're using your knowledge,
mm-hmm.
is different from actually receiving the knowledge. You have any problem with that one?
It's different because what I'm taking in school and what I did at work was two different things. So with work, I was editing videos and I was doing radio, what I'm doing now, right?
Yeah.
So, but what I'm doing in school is English and art. And it's not that it's difficult because I'm told I'm good in English and expressing myself. So that's not hard. And art, I took art just as a means to de-stress. Art for me is a de-stressor. So I thought those two would work really well. So it's not difficult. It's just two different types of like knowledge that I'm using, right? Because even though... editing and working with videos, it is an art in itself. It is digital media. But I am not using digital media. I am using my hand, papers, pencils, crayons, etc., right?
True.
So it's a different artistic aspect. And I'm still using English, like, you know, when you create scripts for radios and everything.
Yeah.
It's, I guess you could say it's linked in a way. It's just two different aspects that I'm working on, right?
Yeah.
And I'm still working. So it's still, you know, it's still useful because it still links with what we're discussing in English. Because the way we go about English in my class, when we talk about theories, we talk about theories that we use in, know, society today. Like today we're talking about Trump, you know, today we're talking about, you know, the latest movie, It, and how much it made, you know, in economy and, you know, in the movies and all that stuff. So what we're doing is still related. And what we discuss on the radio is still related, has some ties to what I discuss in English. And I try to use what I'm taught in English to better my script writing and what I'm doing in life and in here with radio.
Yeah, I think I'm not really as lucky, I guess, because with the last months of like the summer, I went back to Vietnam, got a little bit of layback, so kind of lazy. But then the last 2 weeks before school year start, I actually work with Now program, and I still in the education system, but I'm not actually receiving any information. I'm just working with like newcomers and everything. So now since I already start school and actually have paper and like information teachers talking and everything, so it's does have a little bit of like overwhelming, and I do have to catch up since like my brains have been kind of like relaxing for the whole summer.
Yeah.
So now getting back, going back to school with 4 university course is a little bit like heavy for me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, and they did mention about, like, you how to get English and art as kind of, like, the pairs.
Yeah.
I do think it's really interesting because I myself have 4 university courses, and I tend to choose courses that I really enjoy, so I don't have to be stressed out about it. But still, it's school. You have deadline, still, you have homework, and it's still stressed somehow.
Yeah.
So now, since I'm live by my own, I have cooking. So it's funny that I use cooking as something that I de-stress myself.
Yeah, that's a great de-stressor.
Yeah.
Like, I go to CALC, so City Adult Learning Center, and it's quadmesters instead of, like, you know, semesters. So there's 4 instead of 2. So the courses go really quickly, right? Mm-hmm. And the first quad, they only let you do 2 quads because they said that it's the equivalent of if you would have like 4, because each class is 2 hours.
Oh yeah.
Right?
No.
So the 2 hours, it's weird, cuz like if you're not interested in what you're doing, of course it's going to be grueling, and of course it's going to seem forever. But like with my classes, because I like art so much, it just goes by in a snap.
Yeah.
And because I feel like my English teacher goes about teaching English in a way that is really exciting personally to me. Like the other day, we were talking about literary theories.
Mm-hmm.
So like, you know, we had psychology in there, we had philosophy. But then the way we went about, it was a debate style. Like, we had to, we were in groups and had to choose these theories. And then we had to like debate it about how our theory is the best compared
That's
to everything.
So cool.
That's scary, okay? Debating, no one likes talking. No one likes presenting. So debating is always like, oh, we don't want to do that. We don't want to work with people.
Mm-hmm.
But he called it a literary rumble, like a wrestling match.
Oh.
It was hilarious. Like, I feel like it was way, like, laid back and chill compared to, like, you know, that, you know, classical debate where, like, everyone's all, like, prestigious and, like, you know. It was more, like, relaxing and fun. Like, a lot of people are like, oh, we're going to crush you. And there's a little, like, you know, slander. They're like, of course, our theory is the best because your theory sucks. But, like, so I, like, it all depends on how your teacher goes about teaching it.
That's
and
so
what
true.
You like. So
true.
For me, I feel like it doesn't, because I've taken an English 4U course before, right?
Yeah.
And it, the way, not saying that the teacher was hilarious, I love the teacher,
yeah.
right? But the way he went about teaching it for me, it wasn't effective. It was so boring. Like, it's not that I hate English.
Yeah.
Like, you can love something, but if you're taught, like, if someone teaches to you a way that doesn't provoke your interest, it's going to be boring.
Yeah, I know. I get it. I have teachers who, I think English too. Yeah, I have 2 different English. I can't really compare them because one of them is ESL and another one is English.
Mm.
But my ESL class teacher was amazing.
Yeah.
She know how to engage students. Mm-hmm. She know how to give really interesting assignments. She also cooperate art in our classroom too, because she's an art teacher.
Yeah.
So she have us drawing poster and draw like storyboard and everything. And I was so the teacher is so nice compared to my English teacher. He's cool too. Like really, he's really cool. But then he tend to, it's like weird cool. It's weird cool because the thing he into is not like all of us into. He into game, he into Star Wars.
Yeah, it's weird. Like, you have that certain like stereotype and image of a teacher. They're supposed to be like, you know, they're not supposed to be like you. They're supposed to be different from you. And the same with my English teacher. Like, he was talking about like video games. We're talking about like how we have a canon for video games.
Yeah.
And he's like, I know you guys like COD, and I know you guys like, and everyone's like, sir, how do you know about these video games? Aren't you, like, old? He's like, but what do you mean?
Yeah.
So it's all about the way I, like the way teachers go about it. And I love how when you get a teacher that also like crosses with like a different subject, how you said like your English ESL teacher was an art teacher too.
Yeah.
And how she just like intertwined like, you know, art with like learning English. It's all about how you teach something, how you go about it, that makes it interesting.
That makes a lot of sense. Also, how do you find yourself like balance from schoolwork and social life? Sorry.
Well, I like to say that I have no social life. I'm just saying, just putting that out there. But when I did, okay, I obviously have a social life. I find like lately a lot of my friends are in university, right? So what I've noticed since, like, you know, not that we parted ways, but because we're way more busy and because some are not always in Toronto, it's kind of hard trying to, like, have everybody together. Like, just this weekend, we're trying to, like, apparently we're supposed to go somewhere and I didn't even know. And I was just like, wait, we're going somewhere? And then we're about to go, but then people had like family emergencies and they couldn't go because they had work or like, you know, school. So like we had to drop it, and apparently we're supposed to do it this next week, right? So if it might drop again, there's always that, you know, little hesitation. But the thing with when you have to balance it properly, right? And I don't really have, well, I think I don't have a workload when it comes to school that I think it's gonna negatively affect my social life, because it's all about organization and not trying to delay what you needs to be done. Like, I like to be organized, so every single day I kind of make like a list of what I need to be done, and to the bare minimum, like at least have this done so you can do this. It's kind of like a rewarding system. If you don't do these questions, you don't get to do this, and you know you love to do that, so you better finish those questions, right? So it's all about that, and it's all about making the time and getting things done so you have that time to do whatever you need to do, right? So
since you mentioned about organization, I feel so bad because so far I do get my work done, but still, since I have cooking as a de-stress thing, activities, I cook for like 3 hours or 4 hours a day. And just to put it out there, that I cook for the whole week. I don't cook for the like just one day for 3 hours. Nobody do that. But yeah, because I have volunteers hours. I have volunteers activities, and also I have a lot of kind of like outside things to do. So I tend to cook for the whole week and to get like cooking and food out of my way, so that I be free, or like at least I know that I'm taking care of my health, and so that whenever, like, if I have a test or a presentation to do, I was just like, I know I have food at home, I don't have to cook anymore. Tend to more like, oh, what I'm gonna eat tonight, what I have to cook, and then it's gonna take time consuming. So, and also it's really good because sometimes you don't have to cook, but you just bought like the processed food and then throw it in the fridge, and just take like 15 minutes or 20 minutes of like reheating, and you can have a meal to go, and it's like it's your favorite food too.
See, that's organization. Like, I have a big family, right? So we always like buy in bulk, or like make in bulk. That's what we do. When you have a big family, you do everything in bulk. Costco is the place to go. Right? So the fact that, like you said, because you cook in bulk, you always would have that there. So you just get, like, you know, Tupperware. Just pop that in a microwave and then you're good, right? So that's really effective. And to add to that, lately, you know, it's getting that. It just transitioned to fall. And for me, I'm so bad with weather transitionings. I always get sick when the weather transitions. Right? Like, I'm sick right now. Like, my throat is killing me. But so now that I feel fatigued, right? And, like, because my school ends, it starts at 8:45 and ends at 12:50, right? But lately I've been doing extracurricular activities. So, like, today they had a games club and I killed people in Uno. Yes, I'm the queen of that. And tomorrow I actually have drumming circle. So this year I want to be more active. Like, I've always been a really active, like, person in my school. But ever since I moved downtown and away from, like,
where I was used to because I was there for 5 years, but I was born here. Like, I was here downtown in Regent Park first. Then I went to Scarborough and came back. And, like, I know the people around me, but we haven't talked for, like, 5, 6, 7 years, right? Yeah. So there's not that comfort, like, and, you know, from, like, being comfortable with people and familiar. So, true. Like, I don't want to say I was a loner. More like I was a recluse on my own part because I wanted to get out. Like, you know, I want to get this done. And so I wasn't really active in my, you know. I was in the prom committee, but that was just one thing, right? Yeah, and I didn't go a lot, like, as I wanted to.
And also, like, I think it's your last year, so you want to focus more. And you want to get, like, that record, like, shining and silence. So the university is kind of like, oh, yeah. Like, and also, like, personally for myself, too, I found myself, like, spend less time with my friend. Mm-hmm. I would rather go home. Last year, I would be like, oh, if they, like, just out of nowhere, they'd be like, oh, I want to go there. And like the whole group gonna go there, and even we have a test tomorrow. But like, I'm gonna study later.
Yeah. But now you want to get that done, right? Because like you know what you want to do, and you're trying to get there. So you're just trying to prioritize what you need to do, but yet have fun at the same time.
True.
So that's what I'm doing now, and I like it. I like being more involved in my school like I used to.
Yeah, like no matter if I'm. Kind of like have like four university courses is really hard, but I still want to get myself like doing volunteer activities at Regent Park Focus, and also like I am in the boxing club. I'm heading to like library helper, and I'm trying to get more involved and also get the experience too, because since when you are like being active or contacting and like talking to people and having conversations, you not only kind of like de-stress from schoolwork, but also you're learning your like other people's new experience, and that's a good thing because sometimes you don't know, they might have some tip or tricks or maybe like experience with those teacher or experience with that kind of like subjects, so you got like a little bit more like tips and tricks to get over that subject, that's course of the year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's just a new thing to start for the year. But have you feel any kind of like overwhelmings since like, because back to school, you have to back to the routine and everything. So,
well, like, I feel I'm not sure if it's just me, but like, when you start school, everyone's excited, like, you know, everyone's like, every kid that goes back to school loves the shopping part.
Oh, God.
I don't think it's just because I'm a girl and like, I like shopping, but like, it's just like, it just gets you excited. Like, you know, when you're preparing to go to like an amusement park and you're like, yeah, we're going to do this, this and that. That's how I felt. Right. And then, so it's not that, I guess I felt overwhelmed with like the feelings of like, I want to do, because it's all like, you know, I want to do this and this and that. But like, I've come here and like, it's not that I don't believe I can't do this, but I know that I have to pace myself, right? I don't want to crowd my mind and then I'll start stumbling and not knowing what I want to do.
Yeah.
But not one of the things I guess I've been a little bit overwhelmed with is, I guess, like the deadlines and everything, because it's calc is quadmestered, right?
Yeah.
So midterms is actually next week and we finish in November.
Oh, God.
So everything's fast paced. So each unit is a week.
Oh, yeah.
So like if you miss like a couple of days, like a day or two, you're missing like almost like half a unit.
Oh, wow.
So like, yeah, it's serious. But like, I totally get it. And I transitioned from a semester school to a non-semester school. Right. So right now I'm feeling like this is working for me. Right. Like, cause it's the beginning of the year. I decided to have my hardest course that I want in the beginning of the year, right? Just because it's the starting of the year and I know that I'm focused, right?
True.
So just with the, because it's fast paced, right? What would be due in a couple of weeks is like due 2 days, 3 days, right?
Yeah, yeah.
So like our diagnostic for English was writing an essay. We had the weekend, obviously, but like, you know, writing an essay takes time, right?
Yeah.
So just going about that, it's just like you have to be organized. That's what it is. Organization, and don't fall out of what you have to do. You have to be on top of your game. If you're like not there one day, like you have to pick up the pace. Like one day I wasn't there because I was sick, right? Yeah. And like we had a presentation the next day. You thought I was in my bed just sleeping? No. When they were doing their work in class, I was on my phone communicating and doing my work. I'm so serious on what I want to do and what I want to get. Yeah. So things like that.
I get it. Like I have been in non-semester school my whole life. So we got like 13 subjects a year, mm-hmm. and literally like it's gonna over like 2 or 3 days. So I would be like, nah, I don't have to do this. I would wait for like the day before that day to do my homework or to do my stuff. But now since I'm here and like every day it's the same subject, and it just run like if you don't finish today's school or if you don't if you miss that day and you don't catch up, you're gonna feel totally lost.
Mm-hmm.
And it's just something that it's helped you to like get yourself motivated every day, daily, and get your work done every day, because you know you don't have time. Like it's gonna be double the amount of work you have to do next year.
Yeah.
Next day. So anything else you wanna add?
Well, I guess the way I want people to, I guess, not be scared or like, you know, overwhelmed with what they have to do. Like, because I get anxiety pretty quickly. Like, I overthink things and I get scared. Like, oh, I'm supposed to do this, and that, you know, and I don't have the time to. Also, be organized and just do what you need to do. Just do the homework, you guys. Yeah. Don't say you'll do it later, because you do that. And then when you're supposed to do it later, you say do it later. And later becomes like hours. Just don't do it to yourself. Don't be that person on Sunday doing homework.
Yeah.
That Sunday night. Just do it. And it'll be easy. Just make it easier for yourself, and I think you can do. You can get through it.
Yeah, like it's a great way. I tend to do it. Like I just get up, do some like houseworking, just small thing, and then I would do my work. So that's all the time we have for now. So thank you for Diamonds for being in the studio to chat today. I learned a lot. I learned how to be organized and stuff, and hope you learn a lot too. So please join us next week at the same time and place, Tuesday to 6 to 7 p.m. on Radio Regions. Until next time, I wish you a great evening here from Toronto. Stay tuned for High School Musical.
Wait, what? We're all in this together.
Yeah, we all did this together.